I got to do something first. I tell you, one eye is no fun. I was coming out on the stairs out of the men's room, and I caught my tie on the something there. I don't know what it was, and pulled it away. So I just feel better. I might not look any better, but I feel better. So may the Lord bless us to worship Him. I really enjoyed the choir song, didn't you? That was beautiful. And the hymns this morning. As we come this morning, I want to try to deal with a question that we probably need to ask ourselves more than we do. And that is, why did Jesus have to raise from the dead? Why did He have to do that? This morning at sunrise, we tried to deal with the question, why did Jesus have to die? These are very simple questions that I think we can often take for granted, but shouldn't. The resurrection is a foundation of the Christian faith, as you know, and it brings such hope and such strength and such encouragement to all of us. The very fact that we're here on Sunday in a New Testament church, we worship, as you know, not on the Saturday Sabbath, but on the first day of the week. And that's emblematic or representative of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come to this time of study and worship, I want to ask you to help me and pray for me. Thank you for Brother Wayne's prayer already, and I pray that you would continue to pray for me. I think sometimes when we get in our life situations, and there may be some things going on in your life this morning, I don't know. There's a lot of times that things don't work out like we think they should or that we want them to. But you know what? When you have the resurrection, you have the power of God. You have the peace of God because you have the presence of serving a living Savior. I remember last night, for example, I just couldn't sleep very good. A lot of issues going on, spiritual warfare. Things happen. You may have had those sometime. I suppose that you will. I know it's a reality. But you know one thing that settled me down is this. I thought about that scripture in the Old Testament from Isaiah that says this. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So right there in my bed, laying there, I just focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have any reason or any theological merit or thinking about anything he did, just the presence of God. And that's how it is to be still and know that he is God. But I'm going to tell you, that is a peace, but that would not be without the resurrection, of knowing that our Lord, how would I do that unless I know that my Lord was living, or you? And so what a blessing. We serve a risen Savior, and that should give us such motivation, aspiration, and should be the very catalyst for causing us never to complain, never to be bitter, never to give up, and always look for opportunities to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. From 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to turn there with me, there are some very powerful verses regarding the resurrection. As you know, that chapter is often cited by biblical folks and scholars as the resurrection chapter. You should probably could go anywhere here, but I want to look at verse 12 through 19 as we look at the question, why did Jesus have to rise again from the dead? And what implications is that to us? I mean, is it just by default, or are we just going to leave and say, well, you know, we're Christians, we serve a risen Savior? It's more than just not doubting who he is or what he's done. It's a radical influence in our life. That's what the power of God is. That's what the resurrection is about. Verse 12 says this, 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, there are people that say that. There were people that were saying that in this time. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Some people say that. What about you? The way that we understand that is, what does God say about it, okay? But here's the thing. If he didn't rise from the dead, we have a big problem. More than we would want to undertake here this morning. He goes on, the Apostle Paul, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, if the dead don't rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There's 3 points I want to try to make, answering the question from this text, why did Christ Jesus, why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Number one, that we ought to see, that really should jump out, is because he said he would. He said he would. I mean, it's the promises that he keeps. God never lies. He always is truth. And the resurrection proves that there is an absolute truth. You know, we live in a world that people say, well, what is truth? We have an absolute truth because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should rejoice in that. Oftentimes, Jesus, in his ministry, as you know, he would tell his disciples, says, I must rise again. He says in one place, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will rise it up. Now, they thought he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem, but he was talking about his body. And he laid his body down and he rose his body up. But to know that God has control over such a desperate case is so amazing. You remember Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus who died? And he was sick unto death, and Jesus seemed to delay there, you know, and he died. And the sisters were upset and even told Jesus that if he'd have been there, their brother would not have died. And Jesus says this. He says something like, you know, well, he's asleep. And this is for the glory of God. When you think about the cross of Calvary and the death of Jesus Christ, you see the glory of God in the most ultimate performance event of the universe. But when you see the resurrection, you see the validation of the finished work of Christ, of Christ rising from the dead in 3 days. He says, that's what it's going to take. I'm going to be dead 3 days, I'm going to rise again. He died. He was not killed. He was not forced to do it. He voluntarily went to the cross for you and me. But he rose again the third day. And that brings us joy and hope. If you go to creation itself, there's a lot of preaching, so to speak, on the third days of the Bible. And that's where we see the first sign of life in creation, where God made the plants on the third day. And so the third day, Jesus rose again from the grave because he said he would rise again from the grave. But the merit of that is understanding this. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need forgiveness. The deal is, and I mentioned this morning, do we really realize we need forgiveness? That is what grace does to you. If you can feel guilty about some sin you've committed, then you thank God because Christ has died for you, okay? And so we see that because he says that in Romans 4:25, he says he died for our sins, but he was raised to our justification. So his resurrection is the truth that we actually have been forgiven, that we have been justified. That means that because of Christ's death on the cross, because of his shed blood, he paid our sin debt in full. We don't have to keep up the payments. We don't owe God. We owe God gratitude, but we owe God nothing for justice. You hear me? Nothing. Because Christ met that all. We could not. So we have been justified freely by his grace. How did that happen? Because God propitiated his son, according to Romans 3, again in 24 and 25, that he made him, that is Christ, a propitiation. That word's a big word, but what it means is the wrath of God has been propitiated or appeased. So God's wrath has been taken away because of what Christ did for us. And that justification is that it's just as if we never sinned. Did you know, because of the resurrection of Jesus, you are before God just as if you never sinned? Now that's hard for this little boy to realize, because I know what kind of sinner I am. But that's the blessing of the gospel. We sung about telling the old story of Jesus. That's it. We have been justified freely by his grace, and his resurrection proves that. It's the truth, my friends, because Christ has risen again. No wonder Thomas said when he saw the marks in the Savior, when he doubted him, if you're doubting your forgiveness, you just as well be doubting the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. See, because Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He didn't have to touch it. Jesus says, you touch these hand marks. No. Understand this, that we have been freely forgiven because God says what, and God proves that because he rose again from the grave. Now, this business about truth is a big deal. I mean, everybody now relies on AI, but you've got to understand this. There's some things that AI don't know. And the resurrection of the Jesus Christ is the one truth. And sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth always makes us free. I mentioned a while ago we have absolute truth. We need that because that's what the resurrection is about. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, 6. He says, nobody comes to the Father but by me. And God, that's the truth. But that means we come through Christ. And Christ paid it all. He gave his life. He shed his blood. And God accepted that as full payment. And so when we have to deal with sin in our life, when we have to deal with dilemmas, we're not having to deal with essences and problems and situations in our life and pains because of some sin we're committed necessarily, because we've already been forgiven of those sins because of Christ. There may be consequences, and they often are, but it's not because we're not forgiven. I'm going to tell you, that is the sweetest piece. You know, in our world today, we hear this, you know, well, absolute truth, what is it? I mean, what's good for you is good, not maybe. I might not believe that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that there's an absolute truth, which means this, that having a sexual relationships outside of marriage is wrong for everybody, whether they realize it's wrong or not. A homosexual relationship and lifestyle is wrong for everybody, whether they realize it or not. I mean, there's no, we're living in a world that kind of says, you know, well, it's just wrong for you. It's not wrong for me. No, it's wrong for everybody. And that's what the resurrection does. It does it. I mean, there's no gray areas. It's either right or it's wrong. And it's either God or it's the devil. You see, there's no in between. Jesus Christ says, you either for me or you're against me. And when we understand the power of the resurrection, we see the truth. And we see that it's the absolute truth that he did rise from the grave. And I'm convinced, my friends, from what I see in Scripture, that we will see the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ on the resurrected Savior when he comes again. That we'll understand that his marks, the marks from the spear and the nail prints in his side, in his feet and hands, and the sword in his side are still there in his body. That's the only thing he took from earth to heaven, the scars. And so we see the scars, and we know what? Lots of times in our life, we're going to have scars. You're going to have situations in your life that's going to bring scars in your life. But a clean wound will heal. And the resurrection is how it heals, see? Because Jesus suffered, but he suffered according to the righteousness of God. But the scars were still there. So we need to understand that oftentimes the scars of our life are the battle marks of our Christian warfare. But because of the resurrection, we can press on. Because of the resurrection, we know that we have something to base our life on, some absolute truth. That we're sitting in this little church this morning worshiping a God that did exactly what he said he would do. And you know, that is amazing. That is amazing because so many times in our world today, that is rare. Talk is cheap. A lot of people say a lot more than they can do and deliver, but not Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to rise again. And he did that. Even though the horrors of his death, I said this morning, and I believe that if you and I were at the cross when Jesus was crucified, I believe that we would have vomited. I believe that we would have just purely thrown up because of the horror and the agony and the blood and the smell of it all and the screams and the suffering. We don't realize that, but it happened. But Jesus died and was buried in a borrowed tomb. Here we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who did exactly what he said he would do. You know, if you and I can live a life, if I can live a life and say, did I do what I said I was going to do? I mean, you know what? Sometimes we have good intentions, but we just don't have the power to do it. I can say things that I want to do and ought to do and should do, but there's oftentimes I don't come up to that. Not with Jesus. He had no house, no place to lay his head, the Bible says. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't care about money. But he had God. He was God himself. But in his humanity, his focus was not on things of this world, but on the things of heaven and doing his Father's will. And see, that's what the resurrection is about, because we need to understand what a blessed it is to have a living Savior, a resurrected Savior, and we can serve him and bless him. And we should adore him in everything we do. We should not ever let a day go by without thanking God for just giving us a new day, to let us breathe his air. Oh, what a blessing, what a glory it is to have a Savior that is so merciful to us and has blessed us so. Also, not only to keep his promise, the resurrection promotes his power. Promotes his power. In Hebrews 12, 2, there's one place I thought about using that as an illustration to prove this point. But Jesus, through the apostle there, was talking. And he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, joy is really your strength. And if your hope is in this life only, we just read it, didn't we? We're of all people most miserable. Because this world will sap our strength out. The resurrection, though, is where we have our strength. It is the power of God. We're in 1 Corinthians. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. There's a verse that says this. We are troubled in verse 8, and this talks about the power of the resurrection on every side, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, listen at that, might be made manifest in our body. See, that's the resurrection. You go on with me down in here, and it says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. See, we're not going to quit. We're going to have these deals to deal with. You're going to have issues. You're going to have dilemmas. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Brother Clint, I see that in your life. You are an inspiration, and I want you to know right now from here, God is using you. And I thank the Lord for you, you and your family, even though you're having to go through what you're going through. But you're here, and God has given you the strength through the power of the resurrection. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know what? I'm going to tell you out loud, I'm not going to complain anymore. Because our problems are working in us a weight of glory that is worth a lot more than anything else this world will have. We need to be so thankful that God would count us worthy to have to deal and suffer in life for Him. Don't you ever complain about your problem. I'm going to tell you this, as I understand the sovereignty of God, you and I will bear and have all the problems in this life God has allotted us to have. Now you're going to have them. How are you going to respond to them? That's going to be determined about who God is to you. The most important thing about a person is what they think about God. Is He a resurrected God? Is Jesus alive today? When I was praying there last night in my dilemma of spiritual warfare, did I really believe my God was alive? Because I know He had to die on the cross. He had to die, but He didn't stay dead, see? He didn't stay dead. He had to die. That's the only way I could get forgiveness, and you too. But He did it to pay our sin debt. But He rose again so that we could live unto Him. And that's what this apostle's saying. While we look not, in verse 18, at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You ever tried looking at something you couldn't see? I've been practicing that for about 2 weeks. But spiritually, seriously, that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, that is believing. I've never walked up to Jesus and bowed at His feet, literally. I haven't. But I believe Him. I believe that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I believe that He's praying for you and me right now as we speak. And has multiplied millions worship Him today. He says this. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That is the power of the cross. That is the joy that was set before Him. That's what caused Him, even though He cried in Gethsemane and prayed that His Heavenly Father would give Him another cup if there be some other way. I don't want to do this. That's the humanity of our Lord. And nevertheless, He said, not my will, but thine be done. You know what? To be submissive to God is the greatest display of resurrection power a person can have. Just to say, God, let Your will be done. Lord, I'd like to have it different. Oh, goodness, how many of us wouldn't? But Lord, Your will is what makes the difference. And that's the power of the resurrection. I'll tell you what, I can describe this to you. I know you're familiar with it. Over in Acts 16, there's a story. Paul and Silas were in prison. And you know what they started doing? They started singing hymns. That's what they were singing. They were singing hymns. Not songs from the book. They were singing Christian hymns. They were in prison. They were locked in prison. They had their feet in a stockade. And they were there because they cast a demon out of a girl that was making money for some people. And they cast the demon out. And the people got so mad with the Apostle Paul and Silas, they put him in prison. See, I can preach about sin all I want, and you might not say much. But I start talking about your money, you're not going to put up with it, probably. So, and that's what happened to them, that they were getting into their money. That's how they were making their money, with this young girl that was possessed with a demon, and so they put him in prison. But here's the thing I wanted to talk about. How they responded to that. They start singing. Isn't that amazing? They start singing, and what happened? There's an earthquake, and the doors open. And the jailer says, man, just go ahead and kill me. And they didn't even do that. They saved. The man was saved and his family, and they were baptized, and God was glorified. Where does that come from? That's joy. In Acts, in John, rather, John 20:20, here's the thing. Right after the crucifixion, all the disciples ran away. They didn't want anything like that. That crucifixion, I already told you, it's horrific. These people didn't want it. They ran, and they're hiding in a cave, the disciples and the women. And so the Bible says there in John 20:20 that they were there and they're fearful. And then it says that when they saw the Lord, in other words, Jesus came to them, the resurrected Jesus. He came to them. And it says there, when they saw the Lord, then they were glad and rejoiced. And you know the first thing God said to him, peace, peace. Which brings me to my third point, that we understand that the resurrection is really where we find peace. And I don't know about you, and yes I do too, peace is rare in our world today. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, you go out somewhere this afternoon and you sit out on your porch or you go anywhere and you just listen to these birds singing, you get around your family, you thank God, and maybe things are not exactly like you wanted, everything's not hunky-dory, but I'm going to tell you what, you let God just kind of take over in your life. You let God fill your heart with His Holy Spirit. Because I want you to know this, because of the resurrection, we serve a God that is most powerful. We serve a God that says, when we believe in me, whosoever believeth, in 1 John 5:1, there is no condemnation. Isn't it good to know that there's no condemnation in us because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? If the truth is known, we all deserve to go to hell. We do. But you know what? Because of the grace of God, because of the death of Christ and His sacrifice, and because of His resurrection, that we're going to press on. And you know what? I know my life. I said this in a devotional not long ago. Seemed like everything I do has failed in my life. But you know, I don't mean to. This talks about pity. I don't want your pity, because my failures have been the very things that have brought my successes spiritually. You see what I'm saying? You learn from your failures. You learn that you can't make it without the Lord Jesus Christ. You learn that you've got to trust God with everything. See, that's where the peace comes in, that your life is not wasted, that there's purpose in everything that happens. Now, I know that's hard to take at times. There is purpose in it. And then the resurrection of Christ proves that God will bring that to validity in our lives, and we need to be thankful for that and thank God for it. I mentioned the 1 Corinthians 15 being a resurrection chapter. I want you to look how this chapter closes. It says in verse 58, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, Therefore, something happened before that Christ was resurrected. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, that is the work ethic of a Christian, of the Holy Spirit within us, that motivates us, that puts our working britches on, so to speak, that we work out the salvation that God has given us in this life. See, Christianity is not a do-nothing religion. I hear people say sometimes regarding the doctrines of grace in a church like this that embraces election and predestination, well, if I believe that, you don't have to do anything, do you? Oh yeah, you sure do. That's why you do it. That bird flies not to become a bird, but because he is already a bird. I tell you what, this resurrection is powerful. It changes your life. You know, without the Spirit of God, we're not His. But when we have the Spirit of God, that makes all the difference in our life. The devil, he wants to make sure that we're not so sure. That's kind of how he does things. But we have to call him a liar, because that's what he is. And you trust God because Christ rose from the dead. You rejoice in his salvation and blessing in every part of our life. Well, what a joy it is. You know, when you think about peace and how the resurrection promotes peace, I've said before, and I know you've realized this, peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of God. I want you to realize that you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Not only is a Savior, but a friend, a companion. His name is Jesus Christ. He's a living Savior. Isn't that a blessing to know that we have somebody that we can talk to all the time? Somebody that can deliver us and give us and help us and show us and teach us? That's what Jesus is about. He's far more than a Savior. And yet, that is the ultimate, that he did save us. But he saved us for a purpose, and that purpose is to rejoice, is to promote the kingdom of God, is to live the resurrected life. You know what that means? It means that we live with hope. We have hope. No matter what happens. David said this in the Psalm. He said, I would have fainted had I not hoped and found hope in the Lord in the land of the living. You know, sometimes life gets pretty hard. Things get pretty deep. Valleys get pretty low. But when you have resurrection peace, then you realize that you can walk through the valley of shadow of death. That you have a God that's rod and staff will comfort you. That we can meet the foes of our life, and that we can even face our greatest enemy, death, because Christ has conquered even that great enemy through the resurrection. And what a joy that should bring us, and what a peace that should be to us. You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm living like I'm believing in the resurrection. Every morning, in a natural day, we see the sun rising. What a blessing. It's a resurrection. Sometimes I get up, or most times in the morning before daylight, and in my prayers, I thank God that he's given me the opportunity to watch him make a morning. And you know how he does that, don't you? And I know you do. He doesn't do it all at once. You know, he gives us little silhouettes of as light comes, and see the images of the trees and features in the yard around my house or wherever you might be. And that's how God does in our life. I pray that as we rejoice in his resurrection this Easter, that he continually gives us a revelation of who he is. I suppose we couldn't stand it all at one time, but I'm going to tell you what, God gives us just enough. He knows exactly what we need, you see. He does. He is that gentle shepherd that leads his sheep through the paths of righteousness. Sometimes he makes us lay down. He does. But he always guides us, and he cares for us. And he'll never never leave us. Now, that's what Jesus said. Now, we've already established the fact, I pray, that whatever God says, He does. The resurrection is the big one to prove that. But to know that He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We need to take that. He says this too, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus says. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to follow Him. If you haven't been baptized in water, you need to, because Jesus said so. And you serve Him. Because what you're doing when you're baptized is acknowledging the reality of the resurrection. That's what the resurrection is about. It's how Jesus, He was baptized in water to identify with sinners like us. Can you believe it? But baptism is an immersion and it's a rising up. And that's what our life is about every day. Sometimes we get knocked down, don't we, because of our sinfulness, because of our failures, because of our disappointments. But you know what the resurrection is? It makes us so that we can go to God and we can pour our heart out to Him. And you know what He'll do? He'll revitalize us. He'll give us new grace every day. He'll give us fresh grace. We don't need to be thinking we're going to have to run on the same old grace. God sometimes changes our oil. He does. He just gives us fresh grace and tells us to go on. And we need to know that it all comes from Him. And you know what He says? He says that He provides for all our needs. Now that's something to think about. Did you know that Jesus says that He provides all our needs? How are we going to react to that? Do we think we need something that we haven't got because Jesus can't provide it? We have a lot of trouble, I know I do, determining what we need and what we want. And may God bless us to want just what God wants. That is the peace of the resurrection. That is the understanding that when you face trials and I face trials, that we can have joy because Jesus, facing the very cross and the horrors of the suffering that He did, even the being forsaken by His Heavenly Father because of our sins, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. I believe that we can take anything God deals through the power of the resurrection. In fact, God says there's no temptation taking you but is common to man, but God is faithful. That with that temptation, He'll provide a way of escape. That's the resurrection. That's the power of the resurrected Lord that we serve. Jesus is living. That means He knows what you're doing, thinking, saying, and not doing, thinking, and saying. He does. So you can take that either way, that we have this living Savior, but He's aware, and what a blessing. But He is so patient and loving to us. And so forgiving. He even says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And says, I'll give you rest. Do you need some rest this morning? I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ is the kind of rest that you can have even if you can't sleep at night. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you will find rest for your souls. May the Lord bless us to yoke up with Christ, maybe through reading His Word, Bible, church, your fellowships, prayers. I'll tell you what, we have a connection with God through the Christ that is resurrected. May the Lord bless us to rejoice in that and to never take it for granted. Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the resurrection. We thank You, Lord, that You actually rose again. That makes the atonement actual. It's not a matter, Lord, of saying a person could be saved if they do this or that. It means You actually saved Your people. And now, Lord, You give us this resurrection to live the life that You victoriously gave us. And Lord, may we give it back to You in adoration and love and respect and joy. May we give it back to you, Lord, and even the events of our life where we come so far short of how we ought to be and do. But Lord, you make up the difference. You never called us to do anything you don't enable us to do. Lord, bless us in our weakness. Help us realize, Lord, when we're weak, then are we strong through your resurrection. Your weakest moment became the very strength of glory from the cross to the resurrection to the crown to your throne. Lord, bless us to be rekindled in our flame of love for you through the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your church, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our recreation, in all we do, respecting you and depending upon your resurrecting grace each day of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.